Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There are a lot of competing philosophies and belief systems in today's culture that can't all be true. The question we're going to answer today on Daily in the Word, which faith? Stay with us. Coming up next with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to answer some tough questions. Lot of competing belief systems in today's culture, a lot of different systems that are crying and vying for your attention and for your allegiance. How will you determine what you believe? What authority will you rely upon? Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and the president of West Coast Baptist College. Today's series is entitled, Which Faith? We're answering some tough questions, but we're not just answering those questions with our own opinion or with conjecture. We're going to the Word of God, the final authority, God's written word to mankind, and we're going to rest upon the truth as He defines it. And so I believe this series will greatly help you and maybe a friend that needs to know Christ. I hope you'll consider passing along to them this series, Which Faith? Before we join today's message with Dr. Chappell, I want to encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org. At dailyintheword.org, you'll find links to today's broadcast and recent messages, also a vast host of other resources that will help your spiritual growth and your walk with the Lord. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit with us at dailyintheword.org. At dailyintheword.org, you'll find a lot of resources to help you in your Christian faith and growth. You'll find a daily devotional from Pastor Chappell and links to recent broadcasts, as well as the Daily in the Word podcast. I also want to encourage you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. Your gift of any amount to Daily in the Word will help us to pay for airtime and to continue the work of teaching and preaching the truth, the uncompromised truth of the Word of God. But now let's open our Bibles, and here's Pastor Chappell to introduce today's message in this series, Which Faith?
One way or many ways. You know, there are many today who believe you can get to heaven by following dozens of paths, as long as you're really sincere, they say. But what does the Bible say? Today we're going to learn that our God has a plan. He has a way that each and every one of us might find fellowship with Him. And we're going to learn that that way is straight and narrow, but when we follow it, the end result is always joy and eternal life. Let's open our Bibles and learn the one way to our God. The pronouncement of our God, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Notice secondly, the promises of our God. Very quickly, God promises to deliver His people from Egypt. In the context that we're studying this morning, you'll notice He says in verse number 2, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. How many of you are thankful this morning that we serve a delivering God? He delivers us from sin. In this case, He delivered His children from the bondage of Egypt. He saw the need that they had. The Bible says in Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand. Now here we see that He's coming down to make deliverance. Why? Because He had heard them. He had seen them. Mark this down, please. God says that He knows you and He loves you just the way you are. God saw the children here of Israel in Egypt. And He heard their cry, and He knew that they were enslaved,
and he cared for them. The Bible says that they were the apple of his eye. And I believe as we study the Abrahamic covenant, the Bible says, I will bless those who bless you concerning Israel, and I will curse those who curse you. And I believe one of the reasons God has blessed America is our friendship to Israel. In this case, God says, I hear your cry. I understand your problem. And as we come down to the teaching of the Word of God, we see that God knew their burden. A few years ago, as I said, we were over in England, and I want you to see a slide that we have here of one of the bricks from this particular era in world history that was there at the British Museum. It had a stamp in the top, King Ramses II. This was from the very era when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. And they were there making brick out of mud and straw. And they were many times persecuted. And God said, I heard their cry and I delivered them out of the land of Egypt. I met the need of my people. But I've got good news for you this morning. God did not merely deliver people from their burden thousands of years ago. But God sees the burden of the world today, and he knows the greatest burden of every man or woman is the burden of sin. Listen, if God thought that our greatest need would have been an education, he would have sent an educator. If God would have noted that our greatest need was scientific, he would have sent a scientist. If God would have thought our greatest need was political, he would have sent a politician. But God knew that the greatest need of the world was the forgiveness of sin, and so he sent a Savior, you see. And God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to deliver us from our sin. Now notice there in your notes, to deliver us from sin. God delivers us. He redeems us by his grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm so glad that salvation is God's gift. I'm so glad it's not something I have to work for. You see, religion says, do this, do this, do this. Religion says, do all these things and you might make it to heaven. But Jesus says, done. It's already finished. I paid the price on the cross when I shed my blood for your sin. And so God says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now listen, God's part is grace. He says, I'm going to forgive you even though you don't deserve it. That's God's part. But our part is faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, listen, God redeems those who trust in him. And God will redeem us for his honor and glory. If you have a Bible, turn to Philippians 2:9. You'll see what I mean when I say for his honor and glory. You see, salvation is all about glorifying God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And in Philippians 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now listen, this is not about our glory. It's not about the church's glory. But one day when every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, it will bring honor and glory to God. It is about glorifying him. And my friend, I want you to know something. You can know in your heart that one day you will spend all of eternity with the Lord in heaven. You can receive his promise of forgiveness. It is very clearly stated in the Bible. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my friend, it's not that difficult to understand. Look in your notes at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. Notice how clear and plain God helps us see salvation today. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now let's read that. That's pretty easy to understand. Verse 12, okay? Ready, begin. He that hath the Son hath life. And he... Now, I like things that are simple and on the bottom shelf, okay? I haven't been able to work on a VCR or a DVD for about 5 years. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Without my teenage son and my married son, I just couldn't get those things to work, okay? I need things simplified. And here you have the gospel in a nutshell. He that has the Son has life. And this is speaking of eternal life. It doesn't say he that has church membership. It doesn't say he that gives money. It doesn't even say he who is baptized. For we know that on the cross, the Lord Jesus forgave one of the thieves, and he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And that man was never baptized. It's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus did. And the Bible says if we have the Son, we can have life. But listen to the second part of the verse. If we have not the Son, we have not life. Friend, how important is it then to receive the Son? It is eternally important that we would receive the Son. Now, why is this so important this morning? Look at verse 13 and I'll show you. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may..." What does the next word say? Okay. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." Now, God who is gracious, God who is love, does not want you going through life wondering about heaven, wondering about forgiveness. He wants you to know that you have eternal life. He wants you to settle today this matter. It's something that you can know that you possess, not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, but because God gifted it to you through Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Eternal life hinges on what you do with the claims of Jesus Christ. If you're going to follow polytheism, that, you know, there's lots of roads and many religions, then, my friend, that is a flat-out rejection of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to be one of your gods on your God shelf. He wants you to know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so this morning we see the pronouncement of our God. "I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." We see the promise of our God. He said, "I delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and I can deliver you out of your sin." But notice finally this morning, the preeminence of our God. The preeminence, that means the first place that He deserves. Now again, Exodus 23, the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no gods before me." And here we see that monotheism was the basis of their personal and national blessing. And this should be the case for Christians today. Colossians 1:18 says this, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Do you know why Lancaster Baptist Church exists? So that we might lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we do a lot of things around here. We teach a lot of different Bible passages and have a lot of programs. But when you just boil it right down to the matter of fact, we are here to lift up Jesus Christ, that He might have first place in our lives, in our families, and in this church. Now, when we think about the preeminence of our God, there are two final thoughts I want you to catch this morning. First, I want you to know that because of His preeminence, He is worthy of our faith. In other words, you can trust Him. You say, "I'd like to have my sins forgiven. I'd like to have a home in heaven, but I'm just not sure." Well, then don't base it on anything I say. But I want you to know that you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of Jesus in Acts 4 and verse 12 this way, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved." Here we see the monotheistic. Here we see the scriptural admonition that there is one name given under heaven, and that name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way in John 14, 6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me." Now you say, "But Pastor Chapel, someone told me that I have to go from door to door selling religious articles. Someone told me I have to give money. Someone said you have to be baptized in their church and have all your relatives baptized in their church, and you have to be baptized for all your dead relatives who couldn't make it. Someone else told me that I have to get baptized." Someone else said, and you say, there just seems to be so many ways. Isn't that just like the devil who said in the very first book of the Bible, "There are other gods, Eve, you want to be one?" I want you to understand there is one way to a relationship with God, and that one way is Jesus Christ. Say, "Well, Pastor Chapel, that is very narrow preaching." about as narrow as this book right here, you see. God has revealed himself in the Bible. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus Christ is the propitiation. That means Jesus Christ is the covering for sin. That is to say, when his blood was shed, it was not the blood of the Adamic bloodline of sin. His blood was the blood that came forth from the Holy Spirit. And when the blood of Jesus was shed, it was efficacious. It was a covering for the sins of the entire world. And so when we trust in him, we can know that we have salvation. Now watch this. Some people have trouble by putting their whole faith in Jesus Christ. There's something about our human nature that says, okay, I need to believe on Jesus Christ, but there's got to be some other stuff too. And so we kind of trust in Christ like I would trust in this chair to hold me up, but, you know, just in case we want to maybe get baptized or we want to do some good things, because when we get to heaven, there's going to be a weight, we think, and the good will outweigh the bad, and if it's real good, we'll get up into heaven. We have all these thoughts. So we trust in Jesus, but we want to add to that something else. My friend, if you trust in Jesus and add anything else, it ceases to be grace. And now it's back to your works again. It's like a family who wanted their Uncle Oscar to come visit them. But Oscar was afraid to fly in airplanes. He said, I'd love to come see you, but I'm not going to fly in an airplane. Well, finally they got up some money and Oscar got up the courage and got on that plane. Boy, when he landed at Los Angeles, the family was there. They wanted to know how the flight was, and Oscar said, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be, but I'll tell you what, I never put my weight completely down. How silly would that be? And how silly is it when Jesus says, I have paid for your sins in full, for someone to try to pay for their own sin through their good works? And people around the world are trying this morning. They're crawling up the stairs of churches until their knees bleed. They're beating themselves on the back with whips. They're counting all kinds of prayer cards and beads. They're doing anything and everything to try to find forgiveness and hope. And Jesus says, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's worthy of your trust this morning. And by the way, he's worthy of our worship this morning. You say, I've already trusted Jesus Christ. Then I want to commend you for being here to worship him today. For the Bible says in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. You see, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another. That's why when the Reformation fires began to burn across Europe, that's why men like Wycliffe and Huss and others said, we are not going to have churches with idols on the wall. We are not going to have idolatry. We're not going to have people praying to these idols as an intercessor to God. There is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, and it is the man Christ Jesus. And they said, we will not have these idols in the church. And you go today and find where the Reformation fires burned, and you will see there are no idols in those churches. Men and women died lest they would have those idols in their churches. What I'm saying is this, the glory belongs to God and no one else. It's his glory for saving us. Well, may I say this morning, the pronouncement of God is clear. He is the true God, the self-sustaining God. May I say the promise of God is true. He can deliver you from your sin and he can forgive you today, just like he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And may I say to you, the preeminence of God is standing sure. It is a true doctrine that he is first place and that every knee will bow to him. And may I say to you this morning, you can trust him today. You can put him first in your life by receiving him today as your Savior and your Lord. The first time I really dealt with someone who had a many roads philosophy, somewhat of a polytheistic philosophy, was when I was a teenager. Our youth group was very evangelistic. We would go out and talk about the Lord and pass out tracts. One day, the youth pastor loaded us up on a bus, and he said, all right, we're going to go to the East Ridge Mall in San Jose, California. He said, it's rainy outside. We'll just walk through the mall and witness to people. And that's back before they had a lot of laws to stop you from doing that and so forth. So he said, all right, let's go. We were on fire for Jesus. We wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Well, we got to the mall parking lot, and the rain had let up, and so there was a lady not far from the bus, and I went over to her, and I gave her a gospel tract, and I told her what church we were from. I said, ma'am, do you mind if I ask you a question? She said, go right ahead. I said, well, ma'am, I said, do you know that if you were to die, whether or not you'd spend eternity in heaven or hell, or do you know? And she looked at me and she said, son, let me explain it to you this way. She said, heaven is a lot like this mall. Now, right there, I began to understand the theological tendencies of women. And that was her documentation. Heaven is a lot like this mall. I said, okay. She said, you know, there's a lot of roads that get you to this mall, but all the roads ultimately will get you to this mall. And she says, there's a lot of different roads and religions, but ultimately, they'll all find their way to heaven. Now, my friend, if that's true, we might as well close this book, close this church, and just go fishing next week. But I must tell you, the philosophy that all roads are going to get you there is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus Christ is very clear in his exclusive claims. Whosoever believeth on me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't fall for that trap that everyone's going to get there somehow. Make sure that your faith has been placed firmly in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Perhaps you've made a decision as a result of today's broadcast. We'd like to know about it. We'd like you to take a minute and respond to us by email or let us know that our program is touching your life. Also, at the website, you can find links to recent broadcasts, a daily devotional from Pastor Chappell, and many other resources to encourage you in your spiritual growth. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Before we wrap up today's program, here's Pastor Chappell with a closing word.
My friend, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. That word must is a very interesting word because it's the same word that Jesus used in John chapter 3 when he spoke to a religious man who was lost without Christ. Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. My friend, this is not the must of a Baptist church or any other kind of a church, but Jesus Christ himself has reminded us that if we will have a home in heaven someday, then we must come to the Father through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not the gift of any church or any prophet. Salvation is the gift of Jesus, who paid for our salvation and covered our sin when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And my friend, 3 days after he died on the cross of Calvary, he rose again powerfully for our justification. If you would like your sins to be forgiven, if you would like to know what justification is all about, then the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you would call on him by faith today and confess to him that you are a sinner and ask him to forgive your sin and come into your life, the Bible promises that he will come in and you will be saved. May God help you today to make your prayer to the Lord by faith. If you've never trusted Christ, today is the day of salvation.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we sure would like to hear from you this month. It's a joy to know that our ministry is touching your heart on a daily basis. And when you take time to write to us or call us this month, we have a gift we'd like to send to you. It's a mini book entitled Your Pastor and You, written by Pastor Chappell. It will encourage your relationship with your pastor at your local church. It will help you be an encouragement to the man of God who teaches and nurtures and shepherds your life and your family. Again, it's entitled Your Pastor and You. We want to send this to you free of charge. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for taking a moment to let us know that our ministry is a part of your life. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org. You can click on the Contact Us tab and simply jot us an email. Let us know that this program is ministering to you. Also, when you're there, do consider contributing to this ministry, and your investment will help us to cover airtime costs on many of our stations and continue teaching and preaching the Word of God across the country. So your investment is a great investment into the work of God. The second way you can contact us is to just call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, we rejoice to receive your letter, your email, or your phone call, and we would love to send you a copy of this little mini book entitled Your Pastor and You. Don't forget, our ministry is hosting a cruise to Alaska. You will enjoy the beauty of God's creation in a magnificent and marvelous way, as well as the preaching of Dr. Chapel and several guest speakers, and special music from the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. This cruise is happening August of 2011, just over 1 year from now. We're setting sail in August of 2011. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information on the homepage of dailyintheword.org. Don't forget to be a part of the cruise to Alaska in 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.